Well, hi everybody. My name is Clement. It's such a joy to be able to be here back in the Lord's house together with all of you, and to share and also to have a time of singing. So 2 weeks ago, Pastor Mark shared about the lesson of gracious words from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12, and how gracious words will be found on a wise man's lips. We learned that graciousness in a person's speech reflects the wisdom that he possesses. So I find this to be very true, especially in the context of my work. So for those of you all who are slightly newer, I'm an occupational therapist, and I work with people recovering from major illnesses like a stroke. When I was first starting out, I was very focused on instructing my patients on what to do and what they needed to do at home. But as time passed, I began to realize that they did not do what I asked them to do, and I wondered why I was ineffective. And as I took some time to observe my other senior, more effective colleagues, I realized that the most effective among my colleagues took the time mostly to listen and then chose their words very carefully and chose when to say them. I realized that my colleagues had great wisdom because they recognized that although their patients knew what they needed to do, they were also struggling and battling with emotions and were also struggling to cope. They were effective because they knew the importance of knowing what to say and in many ways also to be able to bring a word in season to them who are weary by way of gracious words. In the next slide, Teacher Chinky. Yeah, so this is actually also very applicable in the area of my work where people are very weary. Pastor Mark also shared of how the parents of the special needs children in the special needs ministry, they move from despair and hopelessness to recognizing that their children are a blessing from God. And I find that to be nothing short of astounding. In healthcare, most people actually remain in anger, anguish and denial and resign themselves to the loss of their abilities. Only a very small few come to terms with their condition, and that's even a very great milestone that they achieve. Almost nearly never would you encounter a patient who sees their situation as a joy and even considers it a great moment of rejoicing as a blessing. I immediately thought of a similar example in the late Yvonne Tan, Paul's cousin, who was also going through cancer and was able to rejoice. And I asked myself, between these two examples, how is this possible? And there's only one wonderful reason, that the Word of God has great power. In Psalm 19, we read that the Word, where the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It makes wise the simple, it enlightens the eyes, and it rejoices the heart. The Word of God has the power to change a person's heart and bring great rejoicing simply because they are able to see beyond all that they are facing and to see God and what He has planned for them. And as I thought about what song to share, I realized that the song Ancient Words and its lyrics encapsulates all that has been taught and learned beautifully. We study the Word of God because they are ancient, holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They are words given to us because they are words of life, words of hope that give us strength and help us cope. And in this world, wherever we roam, whatever stage we may be at life and whatever difficulties we may face, these same ancient holy words will guide us towards a heaven-bound home and home. And as we sing this song, I hope that it would challenge all of us and encourage us to find a fresh appreciation of the precious nature of the Word of God and to desire to grow in knowledge of it and to let it change our hearts. Let's sing this song together. Thank you, Lenya.
Okay, thank you, Clem. Appreciate you reviewing what we studied last concerning gracious words. And that's something that we ought to practice and be so much more conscious of. What we say to each other, what we say to others matters. And can we be that much more gracious and wise in what we say that can make a difference to others? Okay, let's pray and then we can begin. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you for your words. May we truly be that much more enlightened even as we look at Ecclesiastes once again. We pray that you will bless our time together, and may our hearts truly be encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Now let's look at Ecclesiastes once again, chapter 10. And we come to the last part of chapter 10. And we were looking at how a wise man would have the kind of wisdom that will bring success, and also this idea of him having the kind of gracious words that would make a difference. Now, today we are going to go into the last part, and we're going to talk about this concept called nobility. Now, I don't know whether you consider yourself as a noble person. So we're going to talk about nobles and what it means to be noble, okay? And I think that's an important concept for us to explore. So let's look at verse 16 downwards. And he says, "Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning." Okay, what's that all about? So first of all, you have warnings. Woe, right? Woe to the land. So the land depends on your leaders. What kind of king do you have? If your king is good, great. But if your king is somehow not so good, you have a problem. So woe to you, O land, when your king is a child. Now, the way it is phrased, it could be a child king. So if you have a child king, then you have a problem. Most child kings, now these are observations of Solomon. Right? Solomon is only the number two king of Israel. Right? You had David and then, Saul, David and then Solomon. So he is the third king. But so far, they're all adults. So he probably would have made observations of other nations, and they may have had child kings. Now, most times, child kings, they really don't know how to rule. They have no idea. So oftentimes, you have someone behind the child king, and that person would have influence, great influence. And if that person has evil intentions, or he would want to, do things his own way, then of course he would have great influence over the child king, and things would be not so good. But if you have a king who acts like a child, right, who is a child in a sense, you also have a problem, because he is not very wise. He's immature, he's caught up with his whims and fancies. Whatever he wants to do, he will do. So that's part of the problem of rulers during those times, right? You don't have a wise king, and you end up having all kinds of dangers to the land. A ruler who is in more ways childish, right? I mean, sometimes it's men fighting against each other, right? Tit for tat, you bomb me, I bomb you, kind of approach. And you know what? At the end of the day, you have so much devastation. You have so many who are killed along the way, and it's just, at the end of the day, another number. That's where you have human lives that are taken without wisdom and understanding. You really have a problem. So this is the situation, and then you have princes feast in the morning. Now that is also another problem, right? You have princes who are caught up with their own inclinations. They want to feast in the morning. Most of the time in the morning, what should you be doing? Work, right? I mean, you should start work. You should be dedicated to doing your work. But these princes, they are not fulfilling their duties, right? They are feasting in the morning. So feasting is usually at night, right? You have more time and so on, but you have a problem. So what you end up with is the nation having a government that is weak and the nation is affected in more ways than one. Okay, now then you have the opposite. So let's look at verse 17. In verse 17, it says, "Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles, and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness." Okay, so then you have the opposite. Blessings to the nations because you have good leaders, right? When you have good leaders, the nation is blessed. So Singapore, we have good leaders. As a country, we are blessed. You know, while waiting I was waiting with a car for some people to come and help carry the bulletin. There were these foreigners. I don't know whether they sound American. Three of them, they were walking by, and I think they were in their exercise clothes, and they were coming back from probably doing some exercise. And they say, "Wow, Singapore is so good, right? We can go around and exercise," and you know, they were just so happy to be in Singapore. So, I agree. I wanted to say, you know, I totally agree, and which is true. We are blessed because we have good leaders. And now look at this. He says here, when your king is the son of nobles. Now, it does not necessarily mean that they are royalty. They are not. They are sons of noble. That means they come from a noble family and they are brought up with nobility in mind. So this is something for us to think about. What is nobility? Okay, let's try and... What does it mean to be noble? Right? If you come from a noble family, you are brought up in a certain way, and you are known as a noble. So we are not looking at, nobles in that sense, but we're really looking at this whole idea of being noble, being the idea of nobility. So how would you define nobility? How would you define, give me a few words to describe nobility. What comes to mind? Anybody? No idea. Kid? Okay, respected. I'm looking more from a standpoint of what you are, in a sense. You are respected because you of your position. So, but that may not necessarily be a quality. I'm looking for qualities. Why are you respected? What is nobility? So I give you an example, right? A noble is someone who understands manners. You are well-mannered, right? Because you understand this is important. So I give you an example. I was on a bus and I was traveling towards church. And suddenly you have this boy, right, he's a teenager, and he is sitting on a chair and he was playing his game. And he was sitting on the external chair. And then came out this old lady and he didn't even bother to look up. He was just playing his game. So the old lady saw him because all was occupied. I was standing. And she went to him, and he went to poke him, because he was playing his game. And he said, "Oh, can you move in?" Right? It was an empty seat. He didn't want to move in. So in the end, grudgingly, he moved in, and then she sat down. That is not nobility. There's no regard in a sense for others, right? So when you think about nobility, so here he says that when your king is the son of nobles, right? You are brought up in a noble way. You are brought up well-mannered. You are brought up in a way that is that reflects who you are. Okay, try again. Evan, try. What do you think? Are you a noble person? Why not? Yeah, seriously. What do you think a noble person is like?
Somebody who is honest.
Okay, honest. There's... Okay, let's put it down. There's honesty. What else? Okay, Glenn, try. We just go along.
Someone that's diligent.
Okay, diligent. What else? Rehan.
Think of the word integrity.
Okay, integrity. What is it that we are trying to describe? Mark, what do you think?
Character.
Character, you're right. This person is one who has good character. Right? To try and sum it up a bit more. If you have nobility, you are someone that is of good character. Your character reflects nobility. The way you do things, the way you carry yourself, there is integrity, there's honesty. You are someone that, you know, there's honor in what you do. So recently, it was shared that there's this lady in Perth. I don't know whether you know her. Her name is Mary Gunn. And she used to be one of the leaders in Bethel. But this week she passed on. And I still remember the time when Pastor Mitch and I, when we went over with Pastor, she would actually open up her house for Pastor Mitch and I to actually stay. And those of us who went over, and, you know, she is truly someone that I appreciate as reflecting nobility. She is such a kind, very nice lady. She is hospitable. She opened up her place for us. She will cook for us. And, you know, I still remember all these wonderful things that she did for us. You know, nobility is something that reflects character, reflects who you are. What is nobility? And the question is, do you see yourself as someone having nobility? Right? How you are raised up also matters. So I was talking to, a couple this week, and I said, you know, they're looking at raising the child and so on and so forth. Even question of manners in how you are towards others, whether you greet or not, it matters. So I was telling them, why don't you teach your child nobility, right? You may not be nobles in a sense, but you can teach nobility, good character, integrity, right? That when you look at this person, you would be able to recognize, wow, this is something that is very different. Right? And then he goes on to say, okay, let's look at the next part, verse 17. And princes feast at the proper time. See? So it is a totally opposite. They know when it's time to work. They know when it's time to play. Right? And for strength and not for drunkenness. There's a purpose for the feasting. So for us, when we go to Sheng, right? Definitely not for drunkenness, but there is a purpose. It is for strength. How? It's not about just question of food. It is about fellowship. It is about oneness. It is about being together, fellowshipping, and you find that strength being together, right? That's why we have our lunches. It is meant for us to find strength, right? So this idea of nobility is important for us to okay, let's quickly move on, and we'll come back to this in a while. Now, the next part really has to do with other observations of those who are foolish. So in verse 18, we read, because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. Okay, so we all understand this, right? If you don't do proper maintenance to your house, some of you are buying house, some of you are already have your own place. If you don't look after your own house, if you're lazy, if you're idle, things are going to have, will fall apart, right? Even as a church also, we have leakage here and there. Of course, it's when you spot that leakage, you need to go and deal with it. If not, it's going to get worse. So last 2 days, our kitchen, there was some leakage because the water tank that's in the ceiling started leaking. And so now we have to change the whole water tank. And so that's due diligence, right? But if we are lazy, then we have a problem. What is trying to drive at, right? We don't want to end up being lazy. Okay? Verse 19, a feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. So we all understand that, right? When we feast, there's time for laughter, merrymaking, and so this is really more about money that we can buy food, that we can feast together. And so we recognize the place of the funds that we have, and so on and so forth. And then verse 20, do not curse the king even in your thought, do not curse the rich even in your bedroom, for a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. So this really has to do with complaining, right? Do not curse the king even in your thoughts. Don't go and curse the government. Don't go and curse, complain. See, Singaporeans, we are very prone to complaining. We don't like this, we don't like that. And many people are always cursing PAP, cursing the government, and so on. So the thing is that better to be careful what we say or even what we think, because sometimes these things will come up. Right? Now we have Prof Ma, and anybody want to say anything to the government that is not true, you get sued. Right? And that's their way of trying to deal with all these problems. Okay, how do we see these things? So part of it has to do with foolishness, and Solomon will keep on coming out with these sayings. They are proverbial sayings concerning what is wise and what is not so wise or foolish. But then you also have things that we need to consider, like nobility. How do we look at this idea of nobility? Are you a noble person in terms of your work, in terms of family life, in terms of even church? The thing is that we can be who we are and it doesn't go very far. But how noble are we? So there are some jobs that are noble jobs, right? So if you are, I always say being a teacher is a noble job. I'm not saying this because of my wife, right? It is true. If you are a teacher, you're making a difference, you're molding the next generation. It is a noble job because you are trying to impact lives, right? Some of you are working in the context of medical field and you help people, right? Or social work, you also. So anything that you, in one way or another, help people and you make a difference in the lives of others, that's great. It is a noble job and that's wonderful. But that is in the context of your job. But are we truly learning what it means to be noble. Do we really have nobility in what we do? Okay, what do you think? Jerry, what do you think? Are you a noble husband? Noble?
I guess I don't really think about this word nobility.
Yeah, I recognize this, yes. Why not?
Why not? I guess you, at least for me, you think about more of the so-called virtues.
Yeah, correct.
Precisely. In specifics.
So but, it takes you to a slightly different level, right? When you talk about nobility. It is a understanding concerning who you are. So that's why we don't understand, okay, the idea of nobles, because we are not raised up and we don't have nobles here and so on and so forth. But it is really being able to say that this is a way of life. This is how you see yourself as nobles. Being noble, there's idea of nobility is something that is cultivated, and it's cultivated since young. Right? So when you talk about being sons of nobles, nobility is cultivated since, you know, so when you have children, what is it that you want to raise your child to be? Right? That they would have qualities that reflects nobility. Right? When you talk about integrity, you talk about honesty, and so on and so forth, rather than not. Okay, one classic example, of course, is Daniel. Let's turn to Daniel. Let's look at Daniel chapter 1. So we really don't know, when you talk about Daniel, who his parents are, but it's interesting to read this. So in Daniel chapter 1, verse 3, right? That the king instructed the master of the eunuchs, Ashpenaz, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. Interesting. Right? Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So this is interesting, to be able to see that some of them were actually the sons of nobles. We really don't know who, but the point is that they are all similar qualities. And that reflects nobility, right? And they were gifted in knowledge, in understanding, wisdom, quick to understand. Now, let's look at verse 8 now. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. Okay, so of course he had real purpose in wanting to keep the Lord's commandments. And then we also read in verse 17, and these four young men, God gave them knowledge, skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Okay. So we want to be able to appreciate this idea. So Daniel was someone that was really distinct along with his friends. They had good qualities, and they were raised up with these good qualities. Right? And the question is, how noble, or do we really have this quality of nobility in the way we do things? So that is where wisdom comes in. Where we choose to do that which is good, right, noble. Right? We tend to talk about nobility with, you know, in medieval times is, okay, is the knights, well, they are nobles, they have good qualities, and so on and so forth. Right? Of course, today we don't have knights. So, can we nevertheless learn what it means to have nobility? Can we be able to cultivate these qualities that would stand out, even as Christians? Right? Well, we are talking about it in a general way, but this has to do with wisdom. Right? Ecclesiastes is about wisdom and foolishness. And how can we learn to have that kind of quality? Of course, in this context, really has to do with rulers. Right? Sons or nobles. But can we learn what it means to have nobility in how we live, how we do things, and, you know, so when I counsel with people, one of the things that I'm looking for is really what kind of needs the person has, right? And I really look for that wisdom, that discernment that is needed to be able to help this person, right? And being able to, okay, how do I understand this person's need and have that wisdom to address whatever problems this person has. And, you know, so I really thank God for understanding to be able to help people along the way. And of course, it comes with experience and understanding. But yet, you know, wisdom is important. So part of it has to do with wisdom and understanding that we all need. Okay, let's ask the ladies. Alina, what do you think?
I think as like we go through the different aspects of, I mean, I agree that we don't really think of this word noble as much.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of values and good character in that sense that we have been taught since young, like
yes.
In primary school, like
yes.
To be honest, to be diligent. Yeah. But I think it's also that consciousness in like seeking to cultivate all these aspects in our life. I think especially like you are in a way drilled or taught a lot of these things since young, but then like after a while it just, like what you say, it just becomes a part of who you are as a person and you don't really think much about it after that.
Yeah.
After a certain point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this is something that we all need in life, in how who we are and what we do, you see. Right? The problem is that when we are tested, when we go into the working world and we are faced with all kinds of challenges, then that quality or that character will be tested. Right? In the context of your work, in the context of your business, in the context of your, you know, when we execute your job in more ways than one, these things will be tested. Right? I mean, you look at today's context, so many things are done with dishonesty, there's lack of integrity, there's no honor. Everything is just self, right? And it becomes a problem. It really becomes an issue of whether we are noble in what we do. Yes, I recognize that these are things that, you know, a word that we don't normally use, but nonetheless important and vital, right? That we would be a person of nobility, right? How we see ourselves is important. Angie, what do you think? Why don't you just leave it with them?
I think to me it's the idea of holding ourselves to a higher standard.
Yes.
In terms of our conduct and in everything.
Yes.
So
like for instance in the context of your work, is that Is that something that you see? Or is it something that is...
Yes, in the sense that whatever you do unto the Lord and not to men. So
yeah.
For me, I mean, we all do our work and hopefully that's to the best of our abilities.
Yeah.
And you try to give your 100% or if not more, but with the idea that this is not to please men or for a reason that you want to get ahead or anything, but it's because you honestly believe that this is good for whatever work you're doing.
But is everybody like that?
So it's you hold yourself to a higher standard and you don't compare yourself to men around you. But I mean, it's not going to be easy in the context of work when...
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to
drive at. If everybody can get away with it. But I mean, then the idea is that those things should not matter or should matter less to us.
Yeah, because when you talk about... That's personal to you, right? But the problem is that you are living in a world that's very different. That such characteristics and understanding is actually lacking. When you look at the world that is so evil, and that's the kind of world that we are living in, you see. And being able to... I'm glad that you talk about holding yourself to the higher standards. But not everybody is going to do that. And it's going to be even harder when others think otherwise. In fact, they are going to do things that would be more self-centered so that they can get ahead. That will be advantageous to them. Don't you think so?
I mean, definitely. But as in, I think it will be difficult and it's tested, especially as we climb higher up the career ladder or whatever it is.
Precisely.
But I think the prevailing thought is that we answer to a different king.
Yes.
And whatever is on earth here, it will pass.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's not easy to keep that in mind all the time. But I guess we try, we keep trying.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing. You're right. It's not going to be easy, but nobility becomes part of who you are. As you say, you uphold yourself, you have good character, it becomes you. So a lot of times when you talk about this idea of being noble, right? You have nobles. They are given that position, they're given that privilege. But how many of them are truly people that are filled with nobility? That's the challenge, you see. Right? Lenya, what do you think?
Yeah, so, I mean, when you were talking about all these, immediately I think about my work as a teacher. And character education is something that we seek to inculcate in the young ones.
Sure.
But the difficulty for us as the adults in the kids' lives is that we have to be role models and examples.
Yeah.
So it becomes that much more important for as adults. We have to really model what good character looks like.
Yeah.
In not just when we interact with the kids, but also at home or when we are with our colleagues. And so that the word that came to mind, that came up when I was a young teacher, was the idea of being ennobling. So instead of enabling, that can we seek to live a life that not just is a noble one, but also seeks to ennoble someone and the people around.
Sure.
So I think that is that high standard that I think we are called to also as Christians to have that kind of conduct and to live with the kind of conduct that we might seek to be that light to others. So those are some of my thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think I appreciate that. When you talk about ennoble and being able to help others, really being able to appreciate this. But you're right. You need to be an example. We all need to be examples. We all need to be able to say, okay, this is something that is part of me, is part of who I am. I am able to live my life in this way. And it is really because of this idea of nobility. I like this idea of nobility. It is it is important because it is who you are. It is something that makes you stand out, right? In who, in what you do, in how you present yourself to others. And we want to be able to really uphold this greater standard in or standards in our lives more than anything else. And especially when today you have people with very, very low, you know, standards in how, whether moral standards or ethics, or what is ethical and what is not. I think it's important for us to recognize that and really live our lives accordingly. It's not just about talk. It's not just about saying it. It is about who we are. It's about in times when it's crunch time, can we really live out to what it means for us to be noble? So think about it. I think this is something that you want to discuss even as you go into your groups and really being able to see, okay, how can we live this life of nobility in a world that is truly contrary? You know, the world is evil. The world is caught up with themselves, and the world is just seeking out to find ways that would be advantageous to them. And more than anything else, it's not about nobility, right? I mean, of course, this is part of what we are as a Christian. These are qualities of what it means for us to be a Christian. So if I can help someone along the way, if I can be, you know, so why not? Can we be a blessing to others? And that is doing that which is noble, right? It reflects who you are. And whether you stand up for someone at a, you know, in an MRT, or whether you open the door for someone, or whether you are helping someone, whether it's even crossing the road or being a blessing to others, it reflects nobility. It reflects who you are. And I hope that this is something for us to think. And it must be so much more as part of who we are as Christians. It very much must reflect our Christian character. Okay? Well, good for us to think this through. And whatever way, whether it is in a workplace, whether it's in church, whether at home, let's cultivate this idea of nobility. Well, let's pray and then we can go into our groups. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for this opportunity that we can think about what it means for us to cultivate nobility. Recognize that oftentimes we live in a world that is so full of evil and people who are self-centered, and somehow nobility is lost. We pray that you will continue to help us to cultivate these good characteristics of nobility in our lives, in our workplace, in the way we relate with those who are around us, and that we can make a difference in the lives of others. We pray that you will continue to bless us and ask that you will bless this offering even as we give it for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.